Hello, my name's Nathan. I'm an addict. And like pretty much everyone else who has stepped up here tonight, yes, I am scared shitless. I'm just trying to be as comfortable as possible. And there will be some, probably some pauses for sobs, some crying, some tears, a lot of swearing. So, you know, you may have to get fucking used to it right now. Yep, when I came into recovery, I was at a good place as far as financially, as far as my job went, but I'd been living with 19 years of hatred that it just got to be too much. When we talk about the desperation in the basic text, I was at that desperate moment, and because I'd tried some of the other things, the religion, psychiatry, the only place that I felt I had to go was recovery. A day I called up my boss, I was just a complete mess. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry, and I was doing a bit of both. I told him that I needed to take the next 30 days off of work, get me home as soon as he could, and I was going to start going to NA and AA meetings at the time. I didn't know which. I eventually did commit to NA. That is my home. But, thank you. Step it. But, I got home, I think, on June 22nd. I spent the next 5 days swaddled in blankets, playing Xbox, watching movies, sobbing and being terrified of even coming out of the room I was in. June 27th, I believe it was, I went to my first NA meeting. It was the the Monday night meeting in Green Bay. Wonderful meeting.
Yeah.
Thanks, hon. Yep, it was, I don't know if I was on time for it or not. I called social services because I didn't know NA or AA was online or anything, and I didn't like messing with the computer anyway. But I called social services and told them I was desperate to find an NA meeting. Wanted to start there because the problems I had were drug problems. A lot of other problems, but that was just what I knew at the time. And they fiddled around a bit. It's like, well, what county do you live in? It doesn't matter. I just need a meeting close by. If anything in Green Bay, it's only 30 miles away. Please just give me one meeting location. I'll go to that meeting. And they gave me that meeting. I pulled up there. I have no idea how long I sat in the car. I was terrified to even walk through the doors. But I forced myself in, took the nearest seat available, which became pretty much part of my tradition of my ritual of going to meetings. The first seat I see available, that's the one I sit in. I heard someone in that in the early meetings I went to, maybe that one, said, "It's not enough for me to be clean. I can't be that same asshole that I used to be. I needed to change." I heard someone else say early on, he had asked his sponsor, "What do I need to change?" Everything. I took that to heart. I needed to change everything about me, and that terrified the hell out of me. So I started with getting involved in the meetings. When they were doing the readings, I volunteered, and I took the longest reading I could because early on, I hated participating in meetings like that. It seemed all kumbaya to me. It seemed a bit cultish. But the way that I had been doing up until that point wasn't working, so this is a change I needed to make. I needed to be hugging people. And I think the first month or maybe 2 months of going to meetings, I had this anxiety rash. I didn't want to hug anyone because I didn't know if it would spread. I didn't know if it was anxiety or something else. But I'd give people fair warning, and they said, "Oh, hey, don't worry about it," and hugged me anyway. I got to also, something I hated doing was hanging out with groups of people that were, you know, not fucked up. Not high, drunk, or whatever. I didn't like hanging with people. I didn't like sharing with people. I didn't like being friendly with people. Yet all of those things I had to change about myself, and I forced myself through a lot of the changes. When it came time to get a sponsor, because that's the things a lot of the healthy people were doing, I asked them, as I'd heard other people do, find their sponsors. I asked the group I was in, who would be a good sponsor for me? I'm looking for someone who doesn't sugarcoat things, who's blunt and to the point. They gave me one name, Gregory W., from the Northeast Wisconsin Narcotics Anonymous area. Fuck all, I love that guy. He taught me a lot about being a decent human being. A kind and loving human being. He's in California right now doing great, and I will admit to missing him a bit. The first thing we did, he said, I haven't had a sponsee before. You're the first person I'm sponsoring, so I'm going to do what I did to what my sponsor did to bring me through. Your 90 meetings in 90 days, that's kind of a tough, because you're a truck driver, you're not around a lot, so I'm not going to harp on that. I want you to take the first sections of the basic text and the big book, because he did both, and read up to the personal stories. I want you to pray twice a day, and starting out, I want you to write your name into the first step every day, twice a day, for 30 straight days. If you screw up any of those things, you start all over. I heard one guy who managed to just do everything, first step, second step, third step that way, this little task, to see how committed he was in 90 days. It took me about 6 months. And then we started working on the steps. And we did this using so many people's favorite piece of literature, the NA Step Working Guide. And when I came in, I was nowhere near a healthy human being. So the book for me was a great way for me to unfuck the mess that I had made out of myself for 19 years. I found it very therapeutic. And it was absolutely terrifying. There's a question, I think, in the second step. What do you have hope for? I read that question, and I had to be honest, I had no idea what hope was. I looked up a definition in three different dictionaries of what it was, because if I needed to have hope, which is one of the principles of recovery, I had to have a working definition of it. I had to have something that could be put into action. And I looked in three different dictionaries, the Webster's, the American Heritage, and the Oxford, and not a one of them made any sense to me. I had no idea how I could put any of that into action. It seemed cut and dried, and it seemed banal, almost unworkable. So I went to, I remember something Einstein had said, I believe it was Einstein. Someone else here can correct me if I was wrong later. For now, screw. He had said, if you can't explain an idea in its simplest terms, you do not understand it. So I sought to break down hope in its simplest terms. Hope for me became to accept the possibility that things can get better. However horrible I felt, however terrified I felt, with a definition that simple, I could always have hope. Before NA, I didn't have hope. I didn't know what the hell hope was. And I'm thankful for that. Something I hear from an addict in the WNA area often in his shares, that NA is a love story. For me, that is true. And A was learning how to love. How to love myself, how to love others, and how to love them no matter what. If I can't learn how to love someone else no matter what, unconditionally, then why the hell should anyone else love me that way? I lived for so long without love that I didn't realize just how important it is. That's again one of the many things I'm thankful for in NA. The woman I love here is supporting me. Thanks, hon. Love you. In working the second step, I guess I had an idea of who God was to me, but I still hated him for it. It was still early on in recovery. I still hadn't learned how to let go of that hate. Yet I had hope, so that was a good start. What made it a little bit easier having that hope was just accepting the possibility that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. It doesn't mean it has to happen right now or has to happen ever. I just have to accept that possibility that a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity. And early on, I chose the groups because the groups were a lot more powerful than I was. Together, they were helping other addicts stay clean, helping other addicts work the steps, helping other addicts become kind and loving human beings. If I can do anything in life, the only thing I want to do from here to the end of my days is learn how to become kind and loving. If I can do that, I'll have made a positive impact on the world. In working the third step, again, I had to learn how to put that into action. I had to have a working definition of a higher power, something I could turn to, something that had meaning and substance. And I chose an idea, a simple idea, love. If my actions and motivations for those actions were loving, I was following my higher power's will. That seemed a lot easier to me than looking for someone up on high who can approve or disapprove or speak to me through symbolism or a bird going through the sky. It seemed simple enough that I could work it. And as screwed up as I was, I needed to keep it as simple as possible. If it started getting too complex or it became too overwhelming, I was liable to bolt. I kept things as simple as I could. Working the fifth step, absolutely terrified me. I first started writing on it. After about maybe a month of putting it off, getting a little bit done, I stopped for about a year until my sponsor said, "Either get your ass done with the fourth step, or we're done." And I got my ass working on the fourth step. As terrifying as the whole process it was, for me, I had to let everything go. I couldn't hold on to those resentments, those fears, or even the secrets, however screwed up they were. In my mind, once I let them go, I didn't have to pick them up again. I didn't have to try to hide them again. I did both the fourth and fifth step with my sponsor directly. And afterward, there was no judgment, there was no condescension. He still accepted me and loved me for who I was. The process got a lot easier once I let go a lot of those fears. Once I learned how to become completely honest. Once I learned how to completely trust at least one other person. And Scary as it was, I continued to trust him through the process. While I was working through the fourth step, I got a little bit obsessed. And in the guide, it has all the sections of the spiritual principles, so I wanted to know what all the spiritual principles were in NA, because that was going to become my new toolkit. So I went through the It Works How and Why, the Step Working Guide, and the basic text up to the personal stories, and every time it said the principle of, I highlighted what came afterward and cataloged them. Came up with, I think, 50 principles. Those became my new toolkit. Now, my defects of character, that was another toolkit I had. Those were survival mechanisms. I did not need them anymore. The principles, I didn't know how to use, so I had to continue to learn how to use them through working the steps. Unconditional love, that was a tough one. What it is just unconditional. If I need a reason to love someone, it's, I don't know what it is. It's more looking for approval. So the single reason I have to love any one of you or myself is simply this: fuck you. It's a choice. I'm going to choose to love you, and if you need a reason, fuck you is good enough. Yeah. Hatred and love to me are both very irrational. I could have all the reason in the world to love someone and still hate them. I could have all the reason in the world to hate someone and still love them. So to me, they're just choices. I chose hate for decades, nearly 20 years. Today, I choose love. I try to choose it in everything that I do. With mixed results, I'm working on it. Working the eighth step, to me, it didn't scare me as much as the ninth step. The eighth step, just write down a list of the people you can harm, you have harmed, and become willing to make amends to them all. As I did get kind of confused early on as to what considered harm, so I broke it down to this and still break it down to this. Was I an asshole to you, or did I really hurt you? If I was just an asshole to you, the amends is, don't be an asshole, and if I happen to see you after I've been an asshole, I'll apologize, give you a hug, and say, I'll try not to do that shit again. If it's someone I've really hurt, then I've really got to take a cautious look at it. If it's someone I still know and hurt, and we just kind of pass each other by, something where I can say, you know, I stole some money from you, here it's back, sorry, I did something wrong, that's nice and easy. If it's someone that I really hurt, then I got to consider whether or not the amends is about me or about them. If it's about me, I'm going to be obsessing about it. If it's about them, it'll just happen whenever it happens. I made a point in my addiction of not getting to know people. If I didn't have to know names, I didn't have to know who to apologize to. So a lot of the people that I really hurt, I don't know. I could find them, yet it would still take a while to do it. So right now my recourse is, until I meet them or happen across them on Facebook at a meeting or something, I just got to learn how to not be that asshole. When I start seeing myself acting in the ways that I used to, being judgmental, condescending, being mean-spirited and cruel, that's me following my will. My will is not kind. Love, though, when done right, is always kind. Even if I don't ever meet a God, even if there is no God, love is something that I can always follow. Working the tenth step, it's, well, you know, have I been an asshole to someone today, and have I really hurt someone today? If it happened sometime today, I can take care of it today. It's pretty easy to take care of today because, you know, I should be able to remember who I was an asshole today or who I hurt today. Working the 11th step, I keep it as a simple idea. Prayer for me is just asking a question. It can be simple as looking out into the universe and saying, what the fuck? Meditation, just listening for an answer. It doesn't have to be the answer. It doesn't have to be that specific. It can just be, you know, what the hell am I doing today? And the answer can come. It can come from a conversation. It can come from someone standing behind me. It can come from the basic text. It can come from a meeting. It can come from the people I love. It can come from anywhere. I just have to listen for that answer. Working the 12th step, having had that spiritual awakening, it's just trying to be helpful to others. Now, sometimes I can say some pretty mean things. Sometimes I can be a little bit callous. And if I keep the idea as simple as possible, am I being helpful or am I hurting? It can make it pretty easy to find which is a decent action to make. I don't have to dwell on the right thing. I just have to try to do a right thing. If I do a right thing, I'm doing all right. And, you know, fuck it. That's all I got. I love you all. Yeah.